T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chris Mannix, he's a senior writer for Yahoo Sports and The Vertical. He's a good host. He's good at everything he does. I always like Chris Mannix. I'm even a boxing guy, so that's why. Chris, great to have you back on the show, man. It's been a while. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you for joining us. What a sad story about Steve Kerr. It is insane, though, that the Warriors have so much depth that they've even got coaching depth at the position of head coach. It's pretty unique that they can turn to someone with Mike Brown's experience in this scenario.
Yeah, I mean, knowing the competitor that Steve Kerr is, the pain he must be feeling right now has to be excruciating. To not go sit on the bench as his team goes through the playoff run, it really must be testing him in completely unfathomable, maybe, ways. But you're right. You know, Mike Brown was brought in part because of his experience as a head coach. He's had a full season under his belt learning this system, learning these players, developing a confidence with them so that they, you know, trust him in the huddle. So I think he'll be okay. I mean, I do wonder if going forward this is a chronic problem for Steve Kerr for the rest of the season. What happens in close games later in the postseason? Houston or San Antonio is going to pose an eventual threat when you get to the conference finals. I mean, I think they can survive without Steve Kerr up until then. They might be able to do it without him through then as well. But I do think those close games matched up with the likes of a Mike D'Antoni or a Greg Popovich, when those games get close, I think that could be where Steve Kerr's absence will be felt the most.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think it's going to be felt also just in terms of calming influence. You know, I think, you know, Greg Popovich taught him an awful lot about on-court X's and O's. Phil Jackson, you know, not, you know, using peyote as the teacher, but all, you know, just taught him a lot about being cool and relating to players and knowing when to stroke a superstar's ego, knowing when to back off of that ego. That's where I think Kerr excels the most.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, he's really got his finger on the pulse of this team, and there's no question they trust him and believe that everything coming out of his mouth is going to help them win games. I don't know what the relationship is necessarily. I mean, they say all the right things about Mike Brown, and that's great, but you simply can't have the same level of trust with a first-year assistant as you do with with Steve Kerr. Now, will it matter? Maybe not. Certainly not in this series. When they're in total control, maybe not even next round, whether it's the Clippers or the Jazz, two teams that are deeply flawed when it comes to going up against Golden State. But it will be interesting to see what happens in the conference finals. If Steve Kerr is still bothered by these symptoms, if he has to miss some games, those are going to be close. I mean, you've seen up close what San Antonio's been able to do to them in the regular season. I know they've lost a couple of games to Memphis, but they're playing great basketball right now. Tony Parker is playing his best basketball of the season. It's going to be a dogfight in that conference finals, and that's where coaches can really distinguish themselves.
Chris Mannix here on the Damon Bruce Show. I thought Nurkic deserved an awful lot of credit. It's obvious he's nowhere near to being ready to go, but he got out there and he went, and at times was a factor in that game. I really thought that the Trailblazers were going to take game 3 there for a minute or two, and then the Warriors clamped down again defensively and got it done. If the Trailblazers aren't going to win that scenario, under what scenario do they beat the Warriors here?
No, I don't think they do. And Nurkic isn't going to play, and that takes away the inside presence from what they try to do. I think they trotted Nurkic out there in the hope that they could catch lightning in a bottle and that Nurkic could lead them on the inside in the same way he did in that final month of the season. I mean, Portland's future is really bright with this kid. I mean,
yeah.
He's a 22-year-old five-man. They're going to be a threat moving forward. And I think they were hoping.
They're the Warriors 3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were hoping that he would be able to help them get a win there, and if he did, maybe they'd play him again in tonight. But now that he's you know, they're down 3-0. I mean, I don't expect Golden State to have any problems closing out this series. Durant, no Durant. I mean, they'll still have to contend with that backcourt, but right now they're in total control.
We've got about 4 minutes left here, Chris. Let's touch on four other series that are happening. We'll let everyone know that Milwaukee and Toronto, that is underway right now, so no reason to talk about that. Let's talk about what we know. We know the Cavaliers are through. I think we also know if there was a single team who needed a sweep and some rest, it was the Cavaliers. All things considered, as bad as they were, mission accomplished, right?
Yeah, I mean, they got through this series in four games. Now, you're right, they can take a break, which is what I think some of those guys needed. LeBron played some heavy minutes in the final month of the season. Giving him a rest is important. But I think equally as important is getting back in the gym to some degree and figuring out that defense. I mean, they won in four games, but it very easily could be 2-2 right now with the way the Pacers played in games one and game three. They make a shot in game one, they hold a lead in game three, and they're right in there. And the Cavaliers have to look at it and say, look, our offense is really good, but our defense is still very shaky, and that's something that you can get by a team like Indiana with. But if you wind up with Toronto in the second round, a Raptors team that I think can give them a world of problems at multiple positions, that defense is going to have to get better than what it's been.
What do you do next if you're Paul George?
You know, I hesitate to crawl inside his head, but, I mean, it's going to be a tough decision. I mean, Indiana's got to offer him that max-level extension, and Paul George has to decide if he thinks he can win a championship there. He's going to be 27 years old next month, spent his entire career in Indiana. If he doesn't think he can win a championship, he'll turn down that extension, and the Indiana Pacers will have no choice but to turn around and trade him. I mean, they simply cannot afford to lose a guy like that, a top-10 player in the NBA, for nothing, because that's just not tenable for Larry Bird. So it's going to be a very interesting 2 months as the Pacers, I think, try to court Paul George and convince him that they have a chance to win in the short term.
As heartbroken as Isaiah Thomas was, and as much as that I thought set the tone of the first two losses, along with just some really gritty Bulls, tough guy performance, I thought maybe this is an 8-1, you know, and I'd be able to understand that with how crestfallen the whole team is on behalf of their teammates, you know, real world pain. But then all of a sudden this thing goes to the United Center and the Celtics wake up and look like they're, you know, they're ready to roll here and not be subject to a historical footnote. What has led, other than maybe Isaiah Thomas is a little bit more able to focus on the game, to this turnaround?
Well, I think Rajon Rondo's injury is everything to this series. I mean, he was in total control of the Bulls' offense in the first couple of games, and he was masterful. I think a good adjustment that Brad Stevens made in Game 3 was going small, playing Gerald Green at the 4 and playing Al Horford at the 5. That negated the impact of Robin Lopez, who they just couldn't keep out there for extended minutes because of how perimeter-oriented Boston had become, and Lopez had killed them. But look, the Rondo injury, I mean, this is the bizarro series. It really is. I mean, Rondo was basically going to get bought out in February because he wasn't playing at all. They kept him around. He worked his way back in the starting lineup, and now here they are, up 2-0 at one point on the Celtics. But him breaking his thumb, it changed the game. It put too much pressure on Jimmy Butler. They couldn't get any production out of their point guards. They're starting Isaiah Cannon in Game 5. Isaiah Cannon hasn't played like at all this season. He hasn't started at all this season. They're basically dusting off a mop-up guy to be their starting point guard in Game 5. Unless Rondo can come back, and I don't put anything past him, because I think if you look across the league, Rondo's one of the top two or three players in terms of being able to play through pain that's in the NBA right now. But if he can't play, this series is probably going to end in six games.
Chris Mannix, Yahoo Sports. What do you think is at the center of Los Angeles Clipper discontent? How hard it is to play with Chris Paul, because he's just a tough customer, and he's, you know, he brings a cloud into a lot of rooms that he walks into. Is it hard because it's hard to play with him, or that Blake Griffin is really wired to be the softest world-class athlete you've seen on a basketball court in a long time?
Yeah, I mean, look, Chris Paul can be a challenge to play with. But I think it's the same way that Russell Westbrook's a challenge to play with, that Kyrie Irving could be a challenge to play with. Great point guards, especially ones that can do everything, you know, they're difficult. They're headstrong, and that's what Chris Paul is. But, I think we put too much pressure on every team in the league liking each other. Like, I mean, how many teams in the 80s hated each other. Those Celtics from back in the 80s didn't like each other all the time. Lakers, same thing. I mean, I think there's too much emphasis placed on that. And as far as Blake goes, I mean, he gets a bad rap, but it's kind of bad that he finishes the season with, like, a busted toe, and that keeps him out of the rest of the postseason. But, I also think he gets a little bit too much flack as well. The bottom line is this Clipper team hasn't performed. And to ask Steve Ballmer, the owner of this team, to write checks that are probably going to total $250 million to keep this core group together, that's a lot to ask for a team that's going to either bow out in the first round or probably get, you know, pureed in the second round by Golden State.
Go, Chris Mannix. The word puree needs to be used more in the world of sports. It's a fantastic word. The pound for pound greatest fighter in the world today on the Chris Mannix ranking is?
I would say it's Gennady Golovkin. It's close at the top. Andre Ward certainly has made his case recently, but Golovkin just beat a top-tier opponent. He beat him decisively, I thought, in 12 rounds in a good fight, a close fight, but I thought Golovkin won. But I think he's there, and I'm just hoping that in the future we get all the fights we want to see. We're going to get Ward-Kovalev, too. That's a good fight. I hope we get Golovkin-Canelo in the fall. That's a great fight. I mean, as I've said to you before, and everyone in boxing knows, the one thing holding boxing back is inability to make sustained quality fights. Showtime's done a very good job of it lately. That has to continue. If we get that, boxing has a great chance to jump back on the map.
I have no interest in Mayweather-McGregor, do you?
None whatsoever, but don't worry. I don't expect it to happen. I just finished a boxing podcast that I do with Steven Espinoza, who's the head of Showtime. He told me those negotiations had completely stalled. There's nothing new to report on them. I don't think that fight's going to happen, and if it did, I would have no interest in seeing it.
Good. No clickbait for any of us then. We appreciate it. And Chris, we appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Anytime.
Chris Mannix, senior writer, Yahoo Sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.